Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. It's Ray. That's Tall Ray Sign.
What's up, y'all? It's Tay, Eric Taylor. And it's Monday. Oh, man. Great, great, great weekend in sports. Thanks for joining us. If you want to chime in and give us a ring, it's 718-664-9098. Obviously, you can always follow us at blogtalkradio.com/Ray and Tay Today. Hit us up on the Twitter, Ray and Tay Today, and also like our Facebook page. And might have a little something coming soon on the website, you know, Ray and Tay Today. So just stay tuned, man. We're doing big things. So,
exactly.
You know,
and that's Ray
check
and
us
Tay.
Out and,
spell it out for him, E. Spell it out.
R-A-E. You know, we gotta rock the R-A-E. Because, you know, it's from our names, Tall Ray Side and Eric Taylor. So, you know, just stay with us. And as for the Gmail, you know, we always love your questions. We've been getting a lot of emails, so we definitely appreciate it. However you listen or whatever or try to contact with us, but we've been getting tons of emails, and we appreciate it. It's RAEANDTAYtoday@gmail.com.
Exactly. So here we go. Manic Monday, what a weekend we had in sports. So let me give you a little preview of what we're going to get into. We'll do a quick run through of the top 10 college football. The rankings came out. We'll talk a little bit about those games over the weekend. We got the big NFL Week 5, some big things happening in the NFL. We'll go through some of the most interesting games. Then we're going to do a preview of the Monday night game. Hopefully it's not a Monday night massacre.
Massacre.
Houston at the Jets.
Basically.
We're going to do our Monday segment called Champs and Chumps, where Ray and Tay go through our champs and chumps of the weekend. We take a comical look at who did well and who didn't do so well this past weekend. And then we'll give you a quick synopsis of what's going on in the Major League Baseball playoffs. We got the game going on right now, game two of the Nationals in St. Louis.
Them
so
Cardinals.
Right now, yeah, Cardinals coming back. So they're up 7-3 in the sixth inning right now. But we'll get to that at the end of the show, and then that game will probably be in the ninth inning, eighth or ninth inning by the time we end the show. So we'll give you an update for all you live listeners. So, let's jump into some college football. College.
Oh, man, listen. We talked about it, you know, obviously on a Friday show with the preview. Incredible, incredible games, incredible matchups. You know, I guess we should just jump into it and talk about really now the rankings and what is the new top 10 in college football. Now, obviously, at number 10, we got Oregon State, who, you know, is not played, you know, heavy competition yet, but they're still hanging in there, you know, with their win over Washington State. But things could get a little harder as they, you know, get to playing BYU and Utah next. Then over at number nine, what a drop down. And we'll talk about that game. We have at 5-1 the LSU Tigers. So Florida, man, Ray picked it. I thought LSU at the end. I said, oh, they might pick it out. But Ray, you know, LSU, they couldn't hang. So they dropped down to number nine. The Florida Gators get that W.
Yeah, they both had issues offensively, but Florida was able to put together just a little bit more juice. I feel like the Tigers, you know, you can't be mad at somebody for giving up 10 points, but their offense was nowhere to be found. I just thought Florida would be tough at home. I didn't realize it would be this low score.
Oh, it was a defensive battle, 14-6.
It was.
And then LSU's got to go to South Carolina, so they might be dropping way out of the top 10 soon. So it should be interesting. Then Ohio State at number eight, the Buckeyes, man, looking pretty good, even though they're on probation, 6-0, and you know, took care of Nebraska in an old-fashioned shootout, 63-38. Wow.
38, yeah, exactly. At Ohio
remember
State,
I said Braxton Miller, man, he's doing it.
Urban Meyer. I mean, he really walked in there and was like, all right, look, we're bringing this back to what it used to be. So – yeah, the Ohio State program, for all you guys in Buckeye Nation, don't worry.
The
Urban
Ohio
Meyer
State.
Is a good – you're in good hands with Urban Meyer.
They're in great hands. Then at number seven, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now, shout out to them. I'm only joking. They're 5-0. You know, not the toughest schedule. They beat Miami, you know, which, you know, wasn't – look, it wasn't that hard for them. Obviously, they dominated them 41-3.
They played Michigan, Michigan State. They played some teams.
Yeah. Well, next they got Stanford and BYU. So maybe Stanford's some real comp. I don't know about BYU. We'll see. Number seven ranking, it might be a little high, but we'll see. I mean, obviously, that's just how it works out right now. Then at number six, you have K-State.
That's your boy.
K-State at 5-0.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they smack Kansas. That's not too big. You know, we'll see what happens in 2 weeks. I mean, they play at Iowa State, and then they go to West Virginia. So then K-State will really be tested. And then at number five, the team we just mentioned,
the
Mountaineers.
That was interesting. I didn't think they could go into Austin and put up 48. And your boy Geno Smith threw four touchdowns.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll talk about that later, but I definitely I thought that they would win, and they pulled it out 48-45. So, you know, shout out to them. Obviously, they still got, you know, Texas Tech and Kansas State on their schedule the next couple of weeks, so we'll see. Then at number four, them Gators, man. Gator fans got to be happy. They jumped up high, and they're 5-0 and took care of them, took care of LSU, and then they, you know, go to Vandy. And then their big matchup is at home against South Carolina in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a great matchup, 3-4. If the rankings stay the way they are, Will Muschamp's got his troops playing. They gotta put it together on offense a little bit.
They do. The defense is solid though. They got some good speed. Then at number three, South Carolina. Them Gamecocks. 6-0, baby. I told you they'd smack up Georgia. I didn't think
that
they'd beat Georgia
wrong.
This bad. I thought they'd win, but I didn't think it'd be this bad. 35-7, so that's impressive. But look, they've got the hardest schedule probably in the whole SEC. I mean, they go to LSU, and then they're going to Florida the next 2 weeks. That's criminal.
That's tough.
Oh,
but
man.
That's the SEC
Carolina pulls through that. They pulled through that. Much kudos to them Gamecocks and Steve Spurrier. Then at number two, we got the best uniforms, Oregon Ducks.
About the best uniforms. They got the best players and the most speed. I mean, Alabama's number one, so that's everybody knows that, unanimous number one. But that Oregon Ducks, those guys, I mean, they put up 52 on the 23rd-ranked Washington team. It's not like they played some high school team. I mean – This is a track meet. It's like the St. Louis Rams in 99, you know, the greatest show on turf.
These guys are,
and it's every week it's somebody else doing it, right? It's
and, hey, the defense wasn't that bad, only gave up 21 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're idle next week, and then they come out here to ASU. I might have to go check them out, you know what I'm saying? You never know. Come out here to Arizona State. So, obviously, Bama was idle. They're going to play at Missouri, which should be interesting. And then they go to Tennessee. So,
Tennessee.
Yeah, well, that's your top ten right there, man. And it's very, very interesting. College football it's been a good season, you know, so far. It's definitely alive and well. And
yeah, most teams have five or six games under their belt, and those have been some good games. I mean, even the early, you know, first 2 weeks where you typically have the blowouts and the mismatches, there have been a lot of interesting top 25 matchups. So, you know, I don't know if it's random or if it's just a good year or what, but it's been a good year in college so far. The bowl and the conference championships look to be some good matchups coming up later this month. And into November and in the bowl season in December. So if you're a college football fan, you're pretty happy right now. It looks to me like, you know, I hate to say it, but 1-2, I mean, South Carolina might break in there somewhere, but that SEC is so tough. But, you know, you almost want to see Alabama, Oregon right now. Like, let's drop everything and let's just see those two teams play.
Listen, I was saying out there in the Twitter world over the weekend and on Facebook, I honestly, this is definitely a year where you would also, you'd want the plus one. You know, you'd want to see 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3. You want to see it on the field, honestly. And you can't wait for this, you know, little mini playoff to get started. But this is a year where, honestly, with South Carolina, Oregon, you know, maybe let's say West Virginia and Bama, I'd like to see those four battle it out on the field personally. That would be just awesome, you know. So we'll see.
We'll see. We still got 5 or 6 weeks before we got to start thinking about bowls and who's going where. But, yeah, good season so far. We'll keep our eye open for those Heisman. We'll next week or the week after, we'll start introducing our Heisman, you know, start focusing on 2-3 of the leading Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break and let's jump into the NFL. We'll be right back.
Sure. We're back. So
let me tell you,
because you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, we got to talk about Week 5. There's some great games in Week 5, but because you're a Steelers fan, Tay.
It's not because they're great. Let's be real. Come on, Junior Bridgman. Let's be real. It's not just because I'm a Steelers fan. Listen. It was a great defensive battle, and I got to give a shout-out because some people want to hate and try to diss the Eagles and Vic or whatever, but I'm going to give love to that Philadelphia defense. They are no joke, okay? The speed that they have, the way that they cover the field, they get everywhere. They couldn't really get to Big Ben. I will say that. Big Ben was holding his own and you know, led us to the winning field goal. Steelers win 16-14, but it was a heck of a game. And you know what was great? Mendenhall's back. Troy got a little banged up and limped off the field, but Mendenhall came back.
And Lamar Woodley got hurt, too.
Got a touchdown. Yeah, no, we got banged up a little bit. I think Woodley will be okay. I have to shout him out on Twitter and see what's up, but you know, I'm going to say this. The Steelers, you know, that was a big win. You know, obviously you gotta win at home. But, you know, beating the Eagles and you know, when they obviously knocked the fumble out from Vic on the goal line, that was huge and definitely helped with the momentum.
Yeah, that helped secure the victory. I mean, you couldn't go 1-3 in that division and still try to, you know, compete with the Ravens. The Ravens look so tough. So, yeah, 2-2 but, you know, you had to pull that out in the last second, that field goal. I mean, I don't know. If I'm a Steeler fan, I'm happy I'm 2-2. The Eagles are a very good team. But you got to be a little worried as a Steeler fan, right? This is
Nah, you know what? Actually, I'm not because we've had a lot of injuries, and now we're pulling it together. I see the signs of what was concerning was how many yards per carry. We were at like 2.6. Mendenhall comes back and it jumped up and he was running the ball well. And, you know, to me, that's, you know, where you question the line doesn't protect. But if we could run the ball and it looks like we're going to be back to balance and running, you know, obviously, you know, he's 21 for 31. Roethlisberger was doing his thing, you know, only 207 yards, but he spreads it out. He's Miller, all the guys. I feel good. You know, as long as we can stay healthy. My issues with the Steelers are always offensive line and secondary. So,
right.
You know, those
Paul got hurt again. So that calf injury looked like it's gonna haunt him for the whole season. I mean, that's one of those things where you got to be off of it for 3-4 weeks, and I don't think he wants to, knowing how much he wants to play and not miss any games. So that could be an issue lingering all the way up to the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, but Troy sat out a couple of weeks before, you know, and I think that's what's gonna take, you know, and I don't know if, you know, it looked like it was a calf, but it also I think it might have been an ankle. So we'll see what happens. But hey, Steelers, we live to fight another day. Now, look, I mentioned it, I said on the air, watch out for them Colts. And boy, oh my gosh, 30-27, they shocked the world. They do it for their coach, Chuck Pavano. Great story, great game. Andrew Luck, wow. What a comeback, the defense. And look, it was 21-3 at the half. You know, I mean, everybody thought Green Bay had it.
Green Bay's got to be kicking themselves. As much as you tip your hat to the Colts.
Yes, the cap. Tip it.
The cap, exactly.
Tip
you
it, Andre Tippett.
No, that's 80s. Don't talk 80s Bills, 80s and 90s Bills. Come on
the
now.
The Patriots. Andre Tippett,
yeah,
the Patriots.
Oh, the Lippett and Tippett. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But wait. But listen to this, though. If you're the Colts, you're thinking to yourself, great, we're 2-2. We're 2-1 at home. Great comeback. Reggie Wayne does it for his old coach back in the Miami days. Andrew Luck puts up 362. Even Donald Brown was running the ball a little bit, 84 yards rushing. So
the game changed
great.
When they knocked out Benson. That's when the game changed, when Benson,
yeah.
They couldn't run it as much without Benson.
But if you're the Packers, you got to be worried. You're up 21-3.
Oh, yeah.
They outscore you in the second half. They score 27. They outscore you 27-6 in the second half. And you got to be thinking to yourself, wait a minute, we can't protect a 21-3 lead against the Colts, who aren't that
Listen,
good.
Finley, look, Benson goes down, Finley goes down, and they're missing Jennings. This team is, they're going through some stuff, man. They're going through some. Rodgers is still, he's still passing and doing good. The offensive line, the pressure was coming on them. Mathis, Freeney, and them boys, they were coming on them. I don't think the line is as good as it was, and maybe just Saturday, maybe the Colts are right to let him go because maybe he's getting a little too old. I don't know. The Packers' offensive line was not, not stupendous.
Yeah, Saturday didn't show up on Sunday. They've got some issues. I tell you what, if you're Green Bay, you better hope that it's just injuries and you can pull it together. Because if not, that NFC North looks tough. I mean, between the Bears and the Vikings, we'll get into that a little bit later, but the Bears and the Vikings and, the Lions are underachieving. So you're right now, you're in third place in the NFC North, and there's no reason to think that those other teams will let up because they're all pretty good.
Playing solid ball. Hey, Vikings 4-1. Shout out to AP and Ponder. And Percy Harvin has got to be one of the most versatile, talented cats I've ever seen in the NFL. He's amazing.
Yeah, if he can manage those migraines, he's a little dude too, so he can't get hit too many times, but because he's mean. He's second in the league in receptions, right? So
yeah, he's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not Brandon Marshall where he could take those hits
take
the abuse. But he makes you
wish you had him on your fantasy team if you didn't draft him.
Shout out to D Money because he's got.
I never pick him. I never pick him because I'm always worried about the injuries, and I'm sure he'll be out sometime this season. But hey. So now let's talk about the great battle, round 13, 9-4. Brady is up now because the Patriots hold on to win 31-21, come out smacking them up, looking good. And then Denver just comes swarming back at the end and trying to get it, but they couldn't do enough,
Yeah, Willis
you
McKay,
gotta love.
He had those fumbles at the end. But if you're a Patriot fan, if you're a Manning fan, you're probably thinking it's a glass is half full, a glass is half empty, right? Manning did all right statistically, but he doesn't strike fear into me as a defender anymore like he did in Indianapolis. And maybe it's because they had the home field advantage and they were on turf and Harrison.
Well, I'll say
Wayne.
This: him and Demaryius Thomas, they're starting to get pretty deadly. I think what it is, he's missing one more weapon. I like Joel Dreesen and Tammy, but they don't scare you. Maybe at the goal line, Dreesen's been getting his touchdowns last couple weeks. McGahee's good, and they're hoping that this young kid now starting to play Hillman can get going. But I think their defense is not as good as people thought it would be. They really have given up a lot of yards and a lot of scores this year, and it's, the Denver Broncos are trying to always outscore teams, and they need their defense to just shut somebody down, and I don't know if they're capable of doing it. And
shout out to Belichick of the
Patriots, because what I love about them is, this year, he's like, okay, I had no running game last year. We're going to run this year. You take away Gronkowski, I'll throw it to Welker. You take away Welker, I'll throw it to Brandon Lloyd. You know, Brady just hits up everybody. You know, you want me to do Danny Woodhead? I'll do Ridley. I'll do Bolden. I mean, they're tough, man. The Patriots are tough, and this is that without Hernandez. Wait till this guy comes back, okay?
Right, exactly. So think about this. This is the second game where they ran for 251 yards. So remember how we had that email question about Ridley and Bolden. It turns out the right answer is Ridley, but Ridley runs for 151, Bolden runs for 54. So the two of them run for 205, and they still get, and Danny Woodhead runs for 47 yards. So they go against this, what was thought to be a pretty decent Denver defense. We might be seeing the truth comes through. But 251 yards. So if you give Brady a running attack that can run for, you know, let's say 250 is a lot, but if you can run for 150, 175 with those offensive weapons, if, in fact, Aaron Hernandez comes back,
practice, so he's only a week or two away at most. And, hey, Brady, like always, gets his little goal line rushing touchdown. He throws for one. You know, not anything amazing, only 223. 23 for 31, but gets the job done, man.
But it's methodical. It's surgical.
Oh, yeah.
And it in
oh,
the
13,
playoffs,
14 play drives.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
saying.
You know, marching down the field.
And we'll talk about it tonight, but when we preview the Monday night football game, but it's the defense's best friend, too, those long, sustained drives. You keep the defense off the field. You take one or two possessions away from a Peyton Manning or from whatever opponent you got. So,
Well, that's why the Niners are so tough, too, you know. They have these long drives, and that's why the Niners are so dominant, you know, smack up the Bills 45-3. It's just, you know, ridiculous how they're dominating as well, you know.
Yeah, the Bills look horrible, and that wasn't even a competitive game. The Bills are like the Jets now in terms of there's 2 weeks in a row where the San Francisco Niners look like men and their opponents look like children. So
it's ugly. And shout out to the Falcons. Obviously, they're undefeated at 5-0. They, you know, go to, you know, Washington, win by a touchdown, 24-17. The tide changed, really, when they knocked out RG3. I mean, Cousins comes in, throws a touchdown, but he also gets a key interception. But, you know, the Falcons on the road, on the grass, they do enough to win. Gonzalez is just incredible. Julio Jones steps up. They're tough, man. Matty Ice, Matt Ryan is doing something this year.
Yeah, that team is like the opposite of – I mean, they're more explosive, though. I was about to say that those three teams, the Niners, the Falcons, and the Texans. I mean, the Texans are probably more explosive, and the Falcons are more explosive than the Niners, but they're so balanced. Those teams are great offensively. They're doing, you know, well defensively, especially the Texans with Wade Phillips. Those are some solid, solid teams. I can't remember a year when, you know, and if you add what should have been the Packers, but maybe the Packers get it together, but the Patriots, you're looking like the NFL is top heavy. I mean, you're looking at 5, 6, 7 really good teams. And if, you know, somebody in the NFC East, like the Giants or the Eagles or somebody like that can put it together, you're looking at, in every division, having a really, really good team. So this
I think somebody will,
because
honestly, what the Giants have, and obviously shout out to them, I mean, they destroyed Cleveland 41-27, but what the Giants do have is explosive offense when everybody gets healthy, and then their defense, what they have is that NASCAR package, and they can rush the passer and bring in all these defensive linemen. The Giants are really tough, you know, they're really tough, so,
we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, yeah, definitely. We got to talk about the Sunday night. But real quick, obviously, the Dolphins, shout out to our boy Hank, 17-13, take care of the Bengals. And that's a road win, man. That's big for Miami. And
we got one more game we got to touch on. We got to talk on the Chargers-Saints game. We got to touch
I just want to shout out also the Bears, 41-3, smacking up Jacksonville. Jacksonville is horrible. The best thing about the Jaguars, Ray, their uniforms. And Maurice Jones-Drew.
But he didn't even do anything yesterday. I guess they had to play.
No, he didn't. He had one good run, but that was it.
Those Chicago
Bears.
So,
it's all about Drew Brees. Drew Brees, 31-24.
Remember, our chumps. They were our chumps last week. They were my chumps. So
they
went 0-4.
Listen, they, they stepped up. They,
yeah.
You know, they did what they had to do.
They did what they had to do, but even then they had to come back. You know, they were down. They were down going into the fourth quarter. They were down 24-21.
Yeah.
24-14 in the third, and then they scored the touchdown, and then they came back and scored 10 in the fourth. So they are, you know, in some ways, I guess they're happy. They're 1-4. And let's give Drew Brees some credit, right? This guy threw a touchdown in 48 straight games. I mean, first you got to
play. And really,
play
you know what? It's great. If you include the playoffs, it's 54 straight games. How incredible is
that's
that?
That's crazy. Yeah. First you got to play those games, right? So you got to suit up and you got to be ready to play. Then you got to go out there and play, you know, four quarters. And then you got
cold weather,
touchdown
on the road.
You know what I mean? That's over four seasons. I mean, it spans four seasons of football. That's unbelievable. I mean, and he breaks Johnny Unitas' record. We did our top five quarterback. Johnny Unitas was in our list, you know, top five quarterbacks of all time in an era where they didn't throw. So you know, that's even more impressive, frankly, than Drew Brees. But Drew Brees
four seasons.
Suiting it up 48 straight times, and then not only he doesn't break it with, you know, a minute left in the game. I mean, the guy throws four touchdowns and throws for 370. So Drew Brees and Marcus Colston looks to be one of the, you know, still one of the better quarterback receiver combos in the league, and super shout out to them. Maybe the Saints go on and rip off 3, 4, 5 wins, get to 500, start to think about, you know, playoffs and maybe trying to get that last wild card.
Playoffs.
That's got to be one of our top five segments, top five all time press conferences.
Oh gosh.
Press conference quotes.
Well, listen, on our show, we've already done two, Denny Green and more.
They are what we thought they were.
Yep. Oh man, it's hilarious. Well, listen, let's get into what could be a very disappointing evening. Hey, shout out to my father-in-law. Wait, shout out to my father-in-law because he's a Jet fan, but he's, you know, lives back home now down in Galveston in Texas, outside of Houston. So he's a Texan fan as well. But he's like, look, you know, I don't like losers. So he's straight up with his. He's rooting for the Texans. He's like, the Jets ain't going to do nothing, man. I ain't messing with them. So shout out to my father-in-law, Alan, man, because I know he's rooting hard for the Texans tonight.
Whew. You know, the Jets, it's funny because I heard there's something like 10,000 seats available for this game. So if you want to go out to MetLife Stadium, you know, get on the bus or get in the car and go out to MetLife.
Get in the on the bus.
Get to see this game. But, you know, you never say never, and I'm a Jet fan.
Wait, but the Jets don't deserve you to buy one of their tickets. They don't deserve it. They really don't. Prices are too high. PSLs, all this foolishness. The Jets don't freaking deserve it. Don't even get me started with that,
man. Tebow, baby, Tebow. You don't like Hill?
Forget Tebow, man. How about Plaxico? Forget Tebow. How about Plaxico? T-O. T-O and Plaxico. Get a real receiver.
Oh,
what do you think, Jason Hill?
You got all the O's.
What do you think, Jason Hill has three receptions tonight, maybe? You think Dustin Keller ever shows up? Please, don't get me started. Anyway,
yeah.
I look at this game, honestly, Schaub, Foster, Tate, Owen Daniels, Andre Johnson, the Texans defense. I could see it being 20-3, 20-6. It could even wind up being like 27-6. Look, the Jets will be lucky if they can get one touchdown. I think they get a field goal or two. I'm being generous. I predict it to be 23-6 Texans.
I think it could be worse than that. I think it.
I'm being kind.
It could be 31-10.
As a native New Yorker, I'm being kind.
Did
you say 31-10?
31-10. I don't even know if the Jets can score 10 points, but let's say the defense causes a turnover and then they get the ball in good field position. The thing that kills you if you're a Jet fan is the offense does nothing. And the problem is against a high-powered offense like the Texans is you want to take some air out of the ball, and like we said before earlier in the show, you want to take one or two possessions away from Matt Schaub and Arian Foster and Andre
they
Johnson.
They need a pick six
and
tonight. Ray, I'm telling you, that's what they need. Kyle Wilson, the young boy, or Cromartie, who takes chances, they need a pick six. They need to play aggressive. They need to, you know, read Schaub, which is not impossible, and let him force one into Daniels or Andre Johnson, and they need to take it to the house. That's
so
that's
the
how the Jets can get some momentum.
The defense will show up, and they'll play hard, and they'll play well in the first half. The problem is the offense can't make first downs. So the defense is going to be on the field all the time. And as good
and
as they are,
Arian Foster and Tate will just wear them out. They'll get tired
a little bit. Exactly. Arian Foster and Tate will wear them out on the ground, and then Matt Schaub will open it up in the air, and then you'll have a situation where in the second half the D just can't do it, and they'll end up getting blown out in the second half, just like in last week's game against the Niners. You know, the Niners had a couple of turnovers, and then the D just couldn't stop them. And the Niners ended up blowing them out in the second half. It was actually a close game through two and a half, almost three quarters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, let's get ready to get into our next segment, Champs and Chumps. But a quick update. Obviously, it's the top of the eighth. St. Louis is now up 8-4 over the Nationals. And looks like St. Louis will tie up the series, possibly 1-1, going back to our nation's capital. It's
You know that they haven't won a game in the nation's capital since 1933, before that win yesterday.
Wow.
That's a long drought. I mean, that's before
you mean
that's
a playoff
like,
game, because they didn't win at home. They won in St. Louis.
A home playoff game. Right. They haven't won. I'm sorry, a playoff game. Right.
A playoff game, yeah.
They haven't won a playoff game. Any Washington baseball team, basically the Washington Senators, hadn't won.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have a team for a long time, so that's
I know,
not,
but still, it just means you're starving. You're starving like Mars.
Yeah. All right, man, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Champs and Chumps. We're back.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. At the heart and soul of it all, it's all about Champs and Chumps. What a great sports weekend. And, you know, this is one of our segments. You know, we had to, just with all the sports stuff going on the last couple of days, last couple of shows, we didn't get, you know, we'll get back this week to where you at Wednesday and Top 5 Fridays. But Champs and Chumps, man, this is a fun one. And for me, last week I started off negative with my chumps. So maybe I think this week, should I do it to him, Ray? Should I get happy?
Yeah, be positive. Because I know some chumps out there will bring us down.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely a lot of chumps out there. I'll be positive because sort of like my man Positive K. Ah,
LG.
Cats don't know about Positive K. What? I already got a man. So look, for me, my champs, without a doubt, are the West Virginia Mountaineers. I am, number one, I predicted them to go in and beat the Texas Longhorns, right? Which they
did.
They handled it.
I'll give you credit.
They go in there.
I had Texas in that game.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And we won't be upset with you for that now, will we?
Don't be mad.
But no. So my champs are for me, it's without a doubt Geno Smith and the West Virginia Mountaineers, the whole team, right? Not a great, you know, statistical game for him, but against a great defense, he did what he needed to do. He handled their blitzes. He kept the drives going on third down. Obviously, 264, four touchdowns. Incredible, right? This guy's throwing over 70, completing over 70% of his passes. And in a hostile environment, they 48-45, they pull off a great victory. The running back, oh my gosh, what is this kid? Aaron Buell, whatever, gets 207 yards. Okay? He throws for 264, and Bailey, their number one receiver, Stedman Bailey, who's a beast, along with Austin, he gets three touchdowns. So this team, you know, no matter what Texas threw at them, when they needed to get first downs, if Geno needed to run a little bit, they got it done. And I just love just their energy, the way that they, you know, kept the drives going. And I'm telling you, this kid Buell, man, whoo, nasty. 207 yards, 31 carries, 6.7 per carry, two touchdowns. That was incredible, and that's what sort of kept them going and allowed Geno to, you know, even get the balance to, you know, keep Texas off balance, man. And, hey, their defense did enough. So, for me, my champ is the number five team in the nation, which I think should be number four, but I understand why Florida is, because LSU was higher ranked. But my number four team, in my heart, right, in Tay's mind, the West
Party.
Virginia Mountaineers are my champs of this week, man, of this weekend.
Party
so.
In Morgantown, and welcome
oh,
to the
Oh, yeah.
Well.
And listen, and a shout-out to my Terps that won their first game this year at ACC. The first time they played in the ACC, we beat Wake Forest. And we used to diss West Virginia. Always got to mention that. Go back. Go back. Go back into the woods. Well, listen, right now they're in the woods and they're chopping off people's heads. So shout-out
exactly.
to West Virginia.
They're taking people out back in the woods and giving
taking
them a
taking out your suckers
down.
And you don't know how I did it.
All right, that's a good chance for the week. That's a good chance for the week. My
yes,
champ,
sir. Who you,
my champ
who's your
for the
champ,
week
man?
Is one guy. It's an individual, even though the whole team probably could get honorable mention champs.
Okay.
But to me,
you're rolling with one dude.
One dude. My man, Reggie.
My man,
Mello from the U. The
from
wide
the U,
receiver.
Reggie Wayne.
From the Indianapolis Colts, sets career highs, catches 13 balls for 212 yards and a touchdown, playing for his man, Chuck Pagano, who's in the hospital, gets the game ball. We will all wish him the best. You know,
yeah.
That's some scary stuff that he's fighting, but hopefully he'll beat it. But Reggie Wayne goes out and performs. Not only, I mean, you know, these numbers are spectacular, 13 for 212, but if you saw the game, and you said, now that I have the NFL Network, I could see those games live.
Now that you're a grown man.
Exactly. Now I can watch. Oh, by the way, did you see I tweeted today about how New York Magazine, what they do is they have this grid of things that are hot and, you know, cold and sophisticated and kind of lowbrow, so highbrow and lowbrow. So they put the NFL Network. They said, finally, Time Warner puts the game-changing NFL Network on the air in New York. So even New York
wow.
Magazine, shout out to New York Magazine, calling the NFL
That's
Network
hilarious.
Life-changing.
Yo, it's true. It's my new favorite network, man.
Wow.
It's great.
So,
hey, quick shout out, man. I don't know if you've seen it, but everybody's got to check out that show, Revolution, on NBC. Great show. You know, the lights go out, the power goes out, and then the world is just in chaos. You got to check it out. Great show, man.
All right. So let me just finish with Reggie Wayne. Just the intensity, just in his eyes. He was going to do everything he could to win that game. Now, if you're Green Bay, you still had a chance to kick that field goal and potentially, you know, to go to overtime or whatever. But Reggie Wayne was going to do everything that Reggie Wayne could do. It was Wayne's World last night.
Go ahead, Reggie.
Go ahead. Wayne's World.
What about
Wayne's
that catch,
world.
Though? He's down on one knee. He's sort of like going sort of the opposite direction and just turns and catches a bullet from Luck with his hands. How you're
yes.
supposed to do it as a receiver. It was just incredible.
And the touchdown
like,
where he's being dragged to the ground, he doesn't let his knee touch the ground, and he stretches.
Oh,
not only does he stretch out, but did you see, he pulls the ball back so there's no controversial
yeah.
fumble at the goal line in case he doesn't.
No, he's a veteran,
line.
Man. How
Reggie
many
Wayne,
veterans are out there peddling? Reggie's
peddling.
A beast.
Yes, that's our
yeah,
boy. So Reggie Wayne is my champ of the week. So let's go negative.
I feel you on that one. I feel you on that one, and I'm happy because he's in two of my fantasy football leagues. So, you know, Reggie did his thing. But for me, man, look, this is a little tiny bit of a team. It's not even a team. I'm going straight to the crowd, to the audience, to the people. A man of the people. Ray and Tay, we're people persons. You know what I'm saying?
People.
We're people's peoples. But I gotta give my chumps to the Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Boo!
I boo them to the end of time. I was disgusted, man. Yes, your team is what, 1-4? They're not doing good. They played a heck of a game against the Baltimore Ravens, who everyone thought would destroy them. They lost 9-6, and they could have easily tied it up 9-9 or gone up 13-9 because the refs blew the call when Flacco fumbled and they said that he was in the grasp and they couldn't review it. So the Chiefs got robbed. But when Matt Cassel was knocked out of the game, I mean a brutal hit by Nada, the fans were cheering. And people could say, oh, they were rooting because they want Brady Quinn and yada, yada, yada. Listen, they're not in Philly. This is not Michael Irvin. This is your home team. How do you – and like Eric, like Winston said, the offensive lineman, he said straight up, we're not – this is not Rome. We're not Roman gladiators. We're people. We're human beings. It was disgusting. My man was out cold, Castle. It was a bad hit. And the fans – now, look, you know, 50, 70,000, maybe it could have been like, you know, 1,000 people, whatever. It, you know, when you hear cheering like that when everybody's quiet, it seems like it's a lot of more people
right.
than it might have actually been.
That's probably the truth. When Winston was saying 70,000 people were booing, that's the only part I didn't disagree
cheering,
with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't 70,000.
And at that time,
much,
you know, maybe a bunch of fans left or whatever, but let's say if it was just 5,000. Whatever it was enough that I saw it, I heard it. And for me, I couldn't even imagine being a player and hearing that. You want to go up in the stands and start smacking people up. As, you know, to me, like, it's embarrassing. It's disrespectful. It's like, where's humanity? And the Kansas City
Chiefs
fan. Yeah,
it's inhuman. It's terrible.
Yeah, come on, man. This guy, you know, he's got family, kids. He's a son, maybe a husband. Who, you know what I mean? It's just horrible, you know? And so, for me, without a doubt, the chumps to me are the Kansas City Chiefs fans. And I hope that Castle gets a chance of redemption. And those fans better cheer their butts off for him because all NFL players, all professional athletes, they work their butts off, man. They work hard trying to entertain and this and that. And for you to boo somebody getting hurt, you know, or cheer for somebody getting hurt, it's despicable and disgusting. So I boo all the KC fans, man. They are the chumps of the weekend.
Okay. All right, I second that emotion. So my chumps are geographical. My chumps.
You going after a region?
The Bay Area baseball. Now,
wow.
I'm going to let the Oakland A's off the hook. I'm going to let the Oakland A's off the hook, right? Because they're 0-2. It's not the end of the world if you're 0-2, right? You're still trying. You're still playing. They lost 3-1. They got four hit in the first game. They lost 3-1. And they lost 5-4, right? So they did come back. Cespedes and Reddick hit home runs in the eighth, and they took the lead, and then they ended up giving up the lead. So they're competitive. So it's a little unfair throwing them in with their cross-the-bay
rival.
Yeah,
but they're still 0-2.
But they're still 0-2. But that's not necessarily a chump. The chumps are the San Francisco Giants. First of all, because I picked them to go to the World Series. So first and foremost, that's a chump move to go 0-2.
Should have gone
with
my Reds. My Cincinnati Reds.
But second of all, to get outscored 14-2 in two games. So your perfect game pitcher, Matt Cain, goes out there and gives you 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Not the worst thing in the world. But that's against a Cincinnati Red team where Johnny Cueto pitches a third of an inning. And they piece together 8 2/3 in their bullpen. And you still lose 5-2. So you figure, all right, we lost 5-2, but you know what? We're playing at home. We'll come back. We'll make it happen. The next game on Sunday, they lose 9-0. So,
and
Bud
Brunson
and Maharis give up 7 earned runs.
And what a pitching performance by Arroyo.
Tim Lincecum pitches, and he's the only bright spot, right? He pitches out of the bullpen, pitches 2 innings in relief. Because they don't know where his head and his, you know, mechanics are. But 14-2 at home. And this is a team that we were extolling their virtues. We were saying how they're, you know, 2 years removed from winning it all. And they were so clutch 2 years ago. And they took care of business. And they come home for two games. And they lose 14-2 in two games. So, yeah, for my weekend, they're the chumps of my weekend. The San Francisco Giants, my pick to go to the World Series. Man, that's a chump performance.
Well, listen, we'll take a quick break, and that's the perfect segue to our last segment. And, you know, talking about what's going on in the MLB playoffs. We'll be right back. Ray and Tay Today. Yeah, man. Well, look.
Well, it's baseball
time. Why don't you give them a little update of the game that's going on right now?
All right. So we're in the bottom of the eighth, and it's 8-4. Cardinals up on the Washington Nationals. So it looks
right.
Like.
So it looks like they'll tie up that series.
1-1.
We just talked about the A's and Detroit, and we talked about the Giants and the Reds. We'll see how these series, you know, wind up, you know, as they get into their third games. But as this is their second game, the Cardinals and Washington, we'll talk about it. 8:07 down in Baltimore, the Bronx Bombers, baby, and Andy Pettitte coming to the mound. What a gem by CeCe, you know. As a Yankee fan, you got to be thrilled that, you know, CeCe earns every penny he gets, man, because CeCe is a warrior. Great pitching.
120 pitches.
And you know what's so crazy? He could have had the complete game. I think he would have been fine. You know, they just, you know, they took
him
out.
Yeah, but
he
went 8 2/3. He just needed one more out.
No, definitely. I mean, they got a base runner. But, I mean, the Yankees, man, Jeter played well. Russell Martin, wow.
Well, he broke the floodgates open. He had that home run.
He broke it open. But you know what I love, man? Russell and Swisher are going to wind up being the two keys. Because you know Cano is going to do his damage. Granderson, you know, Jeter is a good table setter. Hopefully A-Rod could get something going. Teixeira played big. But if Martin and Swisher can get some timely hitting, the Yankees are definitely going to make it to the series, man, and hopefully win it as I predict, but as we both predict. But, man, I'm telling you that Russell Martin is a clutch guy. I definitely glad he's on the Yankees.
Yeah, he's
man.
That glue kind of guy. Him and Swisher, and like you said, if they can get anything from A-Rod, I mean, he's hitless so far. And
he had a shot, though. He had a heck of a shot last night. Hey, doesn't Martin, in a way, with that clutchness, he reminds me of Jim Larritz a little bit, you know?
Ah, but
that
he's a Canadian
man.
Version.
Jim Larritz,
you know, that's
a man.
That's Russell Martin, you know what I'm saying? All of our Canadians. All of our Canadian
I miss Jim Larritz, though, man.
Big Jim, well, he's the one. You could argue his at-bat in 96 off of Mark Wohlers.
Oh, yeah.
And hitting that three-run homer. I mean, I don't know. Look, I don't know how much of these seasons are, you know, domino seasons. But if he doesn't hit that, we're down 0-2 in 96. And Wohlers is pitching, and Wohlers is you know, he was the man
back
in 96.
Yeah.
If he doesn't hit that home run, we definitely lose that series, right? So we could get swept. We go down 3-0-3, and then we're probably losing game 4, maybe game 5. So we lose in 96, and then Yankees lose in 97 in the American League series to the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah,
right?
The Indians.
And then, shout out to the Cleveland for picking up Tito Francona.
Yeah, man. Terry
a
gets a job.
Up.
He deserves it. He's a baseball guy.
I don't know if the Yankees win 98, 99, and 2000. I mean, I feel like.
No, that's what I'm saying. Leyritz, to me, man. Leyritz, look, we had a lot of glue guys. Leyritz was one of them. Paul O'Neill, Tino Martinez, you know, different sets of fielder.
Paul O'Neill and Tino Martinez are borderline Hall of Famers. I mean, those guys had crazy talent. You know, Jim Leyritz
was
a glue
guy.
No,
definitely.
I
just mean in terms of being clutch hitters for us in the playoffs. No, Paul O'Neill, Tino Martinez is not a whole, nowhere near the Hall of Fame, no.
No, but he had several years where he was at, you know, 130, 140 RBIs. He was doing big things. You're right. He's a level below Paul O'Neill. But Paul O'Neill and Bernie Williams are, if not Hall of Famers, they're very close to being Hall of Famers. So there was a lot of talent on those teams. But Jim Leyritz gave us that little spunk, that little that we needed, because, you know, we were all the Yankees were very professional, and they were very – and Jim Leyritz was that, like, you know, he was bald, but he was like that dude with
the –
He had the passion. Passion and the mullet.
And scrappy.
You know what I mean? Like the hockey players with the mullet. You know, that was Jim Leyritz. If he had hair, that's what he would look like.
Wow, St. Louis. Did you see the shot? St. Louis is now up 11-4.
Yeah, Carlos
Beltran.
What
a homer. Oh, my gosh. I tell you. Listen, baseball playoffs are exciting. I got to shout out my boy Bob Brenly doing the game with Dick Stockton. Now, when you talk about broadcasters, right? Dick Stockton, wow. Does everything, been around forever. NBA, college basketball, Dick Stockton, football, he's been great.
He's a veteran. You know, but yeah, but back to the Yankees, though, I think the Yankees need to worry about pitching. You know, behind CeCe, they're starting Pettit. And they're starting Pettit because Kuroda pitches better in the Bronx, so they figure Pettit can start that game,
too. Yeah,
he'll
be the first game back in New York.
But, you know, Andy Pettit is to be determined how deep he can go into this game, right?
But I think we have a strong bullpen, and I think if they need to, you know, they'll go to another starter for long relief if they have to.
Well, it also helps that CeCe went 8 2/3, so Robertson only had to get one out. So the bullpen's pretty fresh. Nobody's pitched in 4 days. So
Soriano will be fine.
Yeah. So I think
I feel good vibes for Andy tonight. You know, and obviously we got the two games tomorrow. You know, they go to Oakland. So that should be a big game for the A's. Hopefully they can, you know, they're going to try to scrap and get this series turned around. But the problem for the Giants is they're going to Cincinnati tomorrow, and it could be it. They could get swept, and it could be over. So, you know.
Yeah, 5:30
we'll
p.m.,
happens.
Yeah. Look out
Listen, your boy Buster Posey is going to have to step up big time, man.
Do something, because 14-2 being outscored, I mean, you can't control everything, but you can certainly put up more than two runs.
Yeah, the Giants, I got to say, though, to me, the Giants' offense, they're not that tough, man. They're struggling to find some offense. Now, the Reds do have
right
good
now,
pitching.
Who looks like the best team in the National League? You like Cincinnati?
I do like Cincinnati. I mean, obviously, that's who I picked, but I just like the way – look, the one thing I said about the Reds that I really liked and why I picked them, I just think – with Bruce and Votto, they just got a lot of clutch hitters. Their offense, everybody, I find that they're aggressive. Dusty Baker is a great manager, and that team is fired up, man. They play good defense. I like the Reds. I really.
Hold on,
we got a quick caller.
We got a caller. Let's see what our caller is going to ask us about. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Cole, are you there?
You on Rante today?
Caller? All right, we might have some technical issues with the caller.
That's all right. But, you know, this is what I'm saying. To me, that offensive firepower, man, they're for real. They're definitely for real. I'm interested to see what is going to, you know, pop off. I think the Orioles are definitely going to be scrappy tonight, and they're going to, you know, they're going to be fighting with us. So, but I look for the Yankees to win 5-3. Is the caller there?
No, I tried again. I tried to pull the caller in, but the caller dropped.
They're on a bad line. That's okay. But so what's your score for tonight with the Yanks, man? I say the Yankees are going to win 5-3. I think Pettit, you know, holds on enough and our middle relief comes through and we scrap some runs. I'm looking for A-Rod to wake up tonight. I'm looking for A-Rod to do something magical.
Really? Okay. Look, I would love nothing more. You know I'm a Yankee fan, and you know I love me some Yanks. But I think the Orioles tie it up. I think they find a way. I think they get to Pettit in the fourth or fifth inning. They knock him out. I think that Yankees maybe keep it close. But I think that the Orioles ultimately pull it out. I think they win 6-4. I think they're going to be a little run scoring tonight. And I think the Orioles tied up 1-1. And we come back to the big stadium in the Bronx, tied up.
Well, see,
hold on, we got the caller again. Caller. Let's see if we can get the caller in real quick. We got 5 minutes left. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go.
Oh, hey, Eric, this is Jonathan from Humanities. How you doing, bro?
Hey, what's up, Jonathan? How's it going, man?
I'm trying to make it, not break it, you know. You know, I was thinking the same exact thing about Russell Martin. He evoked great memories of Leyritz, and that was a good point that you caught on.
Thanks, man. Definitely. You know, Russell Martin, to me, obviously he handles the pitching staff, you know, tremendously.
He's a catcher. Catcher's the soul of the team.
Oh, definitely. And that timely hitting, man. Let me ask you this, Jonathan. Do you think A-Rod could wake up and give us a little something with all the money we pay him?
You already know what I think about A-Rod. I don't have to tell you, but obviously I'm very disappointed in A-Rod, obviously, because I think he's awesome in the field with the glove. He's a powerful, powerful infielder, you know, but at the plate he looks like a two-year-old.
Wow. And the fans are getting on him, too, so that can't help.
I like A-Rod. Yo, I like A-Rod, fellas, but A-Rod will give you a 6-run grand slam when the Yankees are up 17-0.
You're right.
That's true. We got to get Elias on that to do, you know, to rank clutch hits versus unclutch hits, because A-Rod does seem to pile up great statistics in blowouts, either Yankee wins or Yankee losses. But in tight games, seems like A-Rod doesn't come through as much as, you know, even Cano and Jeter and other players on the Yanks.
Hey, yo, Ray, I wanted to say, you know, it's nice to meet you. I hope you guys have great success on your show. But I really think Yankees are going to win tonight. I don't think that the Baltimore is. I think Pettit's going to deliver what Pettit does, because Pettit is a very special pitcher, and I have full faith in him. Eric, check this out. Explain to me what that was in that Atlanta game with the infield fly rule. First tell me what happened, and then tell me what the problem was. I mean, because I understand the infield fly rule.
Right.
Why was that being invoked in the outfield?
It's the judgment. You can call it anywhere. It's normally just in the infield. You can call it anywhere. It's never really called an outfield. And I think having the extra ump, he made a call that he wasn't in position to do and that they normally call, you know? Is that how you would say, Ray? Because to me, they messed that up.
The other problem was he made it so late. Usually what happens is the infield fly rule is hit. You know, and the rule is to stop people from doing the okey-doke, right? They let the ball fall, and then they get a double play out of it. So it's a good rule. But I think what happened was it was hit deep enough into the outfield where that shouldn't technically have been an infield fly. But the other thing is, it was so late. It was so late. They did it, you know, maybe a second or two before the ball dropped. So they played the game under protest. The Braves played the game under protest.
How did it affect the game? How did it affect the outcome of the game? Because those Braves fans showed more soul than I've seen in 20 years.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You never see passion from Braves fans. But to me, they were kind of classless to me in that sense, just like the Chiefs fans were on Sunday.
But how did it affect?
It didn't really affect the game.
It didn't.
They had chances, because look, they still had chances and they didn't come through, and that's what it's all about. You know, they still had chances. So real quick, Jonathan, before we let you go and end the show, give us a score tonight for the Yanks, man.
Oh gosh. Okay, fine. 9-5.
Wow.
Yankees.
Looking for an explosion of offense.
I like that.
Man. The Yankees have shown they can play small ball and long ball, so let's do it.
All right.
We appreciate
Thanks for
the
checking
call.
In, man. Keep calling. Keep listening. Appreciate it, Jonathan. Take care, man.
Appreciate the love. Thank you.
Be good.
All right. Thanks.
All right, man. Peace. So, yeah, man. Well, hey, that's blast in the past. I haven't spoken to Jonathan in years, man.
That's a high school friend.
Yeah,
keeping
man.
It real,
Let
Yankee
Let me tell you
fan.
Something, man. Humanities is deep. So, look. Great show. Obviously, tonight we're pulling for the Yankees. I think they're going to win. Ray says they lose. Tomorrow, I look for the A's to get one, and I think Cincinnati is going to finish off the Giants.
It's done. The Giants are officially chumps. They're out of
they're
the
They're done. Texans 23-6 over
the
Jets.
Postseason.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening. It was a great show today. We appreciate it. We'll be back on the air Wednesday. We'll talk a little bit about where you're at Wednesday, our normal segment about reminiscing about an old player. And thanks a lot, Ray and Tay, today.
Yeah, and we'll preview my Steelers against the Titans, Thursday Night Football. Thanks for talking sports with friends. We're out. Ray and Tay. For the Yankees offense.
Okay, here I come, hip-hop's number one son. Well, truth be told, I'm more like a younger brother. Cause I've been around since people thought Dana Dana, Slick Rick were brothers. And my philosophy is to master ceremonies and attack all your phonies. And yes, I move the crowd. I got it made and I'm black and I'm proud. I walk like a panther and I rock my belt. I play my radio loud cause I'm raising hell. When I spit these dark shells, then can taste the smell. Yo, it ain't hard to tell. Ride tracks like Dale Earnhardt. I never die broke, son, cause I always earn hard. And I always stay humble when I give it all to God. I'm mysterious, peculiar, and a little odd. I am IB, I am the E. All I want before I die is a track from Dre or Primo B. Honestly, most MCs ain't effing with me. The phonic